This episode of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business's command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Go check them out at getjobber.com/breakthrough to receive 20% off your first 6 months. What is up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Cabrera, the podcasting coach here, helping people to launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. And having a podcast is a really great goal because of all the relationships, all the connections that it can have. But one of the problems with setting a goal is that if you set too many goals, you get scattered, you get overwhelmed, and then you end up with not accomplishing them. So it's good to set goals. I feel like we all know that, but if you set too many goals, that can hurt you as well. So we're going to talk about setting the right number of goals, maintaining the goals that we've set, and accomplishing the ones that truly matter in this episode of Breakthrough Success. Our guest who joins us today, she is best known as the No Labels, No Limits, No Excuses TM coach and consultant for professionals who want more from themselves and their lives. Our guest is a successful podcast host, strategic planning instructor, and best-selling author. So our guest who joins us for this episode of Breakthrough Success is none other than Sarah Fox. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show with you and your guests.
Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Breakthrough Success. It is such a pleasure having you on the show. And when it comes to goal setting, it can really put us on the right track because we write our goals, we look at them, but if we write down 20 goals or if we write down 10 really big goals, it can be really hard for us to get all of them done. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, how do we set the right number of goals for ourselves so it's challenging but not overwhelming?
You know, that's such a great question. And when I'm working with individuals and organizations, there's this temptation to think you have to take on everything all at once. And especially when you're in that goal setting frame of mind, people get really excited because it's energizing to say, I'm going to do this, then we're going to do that. And it can be because it's energizing and you get that excitement about it. Sometimes it's difficult to step back and say, okay, how realistic is this goal at this time? And what is the best sequence for it? The other thing that I think setting not just the number of goals, but thinking about how we set goals is thinking about why we're setting them. So those two pieces for me, the number and the reasons that we set goals, I have found with my clients and the organizations, whether I'm doing an agency-wide plan or an individual executive plan, that really being focused makes all the difference. Because once you start getting traction in one area, you'll see that it picks up the other areas. Having said that, when people push back so much and say, no, I can do it all, I actually think sometimes trying to do it all and then getting like the reality check is not a bad thing, because then you start to help yourself frame where do you focus first and what really does matter to you most. So I'm not sure. I would say that typically, and I've narrowed my number of goals over the years, I used to say to folks, five. I actually think that during a season, if you will, so if you think about I'm looking at a goal either over a year or a longer term goal, the further out the goals are, the more you can have. But when you bring them closer to you where you're going to actually go after them and then start making progress, keeping the number fewer helps. So 3 to 5 major things to work on at any given time is a lot. Because think about it, your day-to-day life does not get set aside just because you have this new goal. So you can't say, oh, I'm going to put all my kids and family on hold, and I'm going to do this on hold. All of that continues. So I think having a manageable number of goals, especially if you're either an individual doing this, is essential. Because when we don't make any progress, it's disheartening. I would say, you know, folks start to lose momentum, start to doubt their ability. So you lose momentum and faith in yourself, and that has its own set of challenges.
And I really like this idea of having 3 to 5 really big goals. You could have some side stuff, but if you're like, it's one of those things where it's like, what's your productivity? And if you're not doing stuff for those big 3 to 5, you did not have a productive day. So, you know, if you've checked off all your boxes for those 3 to 5 for the day, then you can focus on some of these smaller goals that you have that could be still important, but should never have the same level of importance as the other 3 to 5. And I feel like part of it, I mean, you mentioned like we're talking about so far, we're angled more towards the overachiever. And that's going to be a lot of people listen to Breakthrough Success. Like you think you could like conquer the world or something like that. There are people though who don't want to give themselves too big of a goal or too challenging of a goal. Maybe because they don't want to stretch out of their comfort zone. They don't want to have to face off failure. Like for instance, it's easier for me to say, I want to make more money than actually put a number on it. So for people who are in the comfort zone, how do we get out of that comfort zone and be able to raise our priority goals?
Wow. That's my favorite conversation to have with folks. Because when they say, well, I just want more money, and you push back and say, how will you know when you get that? Is it a dollar more? Because that's easy, right? You just want $1 more. So part of it is not accepting less of yourself than you could do. And you're absolutely right. If you don't stretch, you will be in the exact same place. I guarantee it that you are today. There is that piece. I actually think it's better to stretch beyond what you think is possible, not make it so crazy that it's, you know, that you can't do it. I want $1 million next week, right? Okay. That might be a tougher stretch than if you say, I want $1 million and it's going to take me X amount of time to do it. And that's a stretch for you. You know, that won't be a stretch for some people, but it would be a huge stretch. And you think about it and you plan for it. So part of that is not accepting less of yourself or making your goal so small that it doesn't make you a little bit nervous. Because when we don't have, there's nothing to reach for, right? If I know I can do it, then you kind of get that ho-hum attitude. Oh yeah, I can do that. And then it gets backburnered, right? It's like, oh yeah, I can do that anytime I want. But if you're taking a stretch goal, you have to pay attention to it. And it should make you a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
And not necessarily tank you, like you just think, oh, I give up. But there should be a stretch there.
And I do like the idea of constantly stretching. I do want to bring up an interesting point because I've had a lot of people on it. Like we talked about different areas of this topic, like setting goals, work-life balance, things like that. So let's say, for instance, you want to be 6 figures. Let's say, for instance, $100,000 a year, just that round number. And guess what? You hit that number. And then there are going to be some people who say, now I want 7 figures. Now I want 8 figures. And I'm not going to be happy until I get it. So I feel like stretching ourselves is good because, you know, if you keep saying, I'm just happy if I make 100,000 each year, I'm happy if I just stay at that pace. What happens to those people is you lose it because you decided you were happy with what you had and you decided to go stagnant. So you don't want to go stagnant. You don't want to stop stretching, but you don't want to overstretch either and get to the point where your happiness hinges on if you can do this or not. So how do we find the sweet spot of stretching and not making the goal like our life and like, you know, we feel terrible about ourselves if we don't do it?
That's a great question. So I love that example of like, now that I have this 6 figures, I want 7, right? So my question to someone who's saying that is why? What will that 7 give you that you don't have now? Because there's that piece, and you kind of said the word balance. But if you think about your goals in the totality of your life, right? It isn't all about your finances. Because you want that money for a reason. Maybe it's because of security. Maybe it's because you have a something you're needing to do with that money. You have a goal specific to that. But at some point, there's a trade-off for that. So if all of your energy goes into the 7 or the 8 figures, on the back end of that, you have to acknowledge you're trading off something. And that's okay if that is actually the life you're trying to create. But one of my favorite quotes, and I don't remember who to attribute this to, so I'm going to butcher. I'm not even going to tell you who I think said it because it's wrong. But the story goes that this guy is at a party. It's a true story. I just can't remember the names. But he's at a party, in upstate, I think upstate New York, surrounded by a bunch of really high finance, very wealthy people. And he's wealthy himself, right? But there's people more wealthy than him in the room. So someone came up and said, "So what's your next like big financial goal?" And he said, "I have to tell you, I'm already the wealthiest man in the room." And this person steps back and says, "What?" And he goes, "Because I have enough." So he will never let himself down, not because he's not striving, because here he is. He's a very, you know, he goes, he has big business goals. But he is not hinging his definition of himself compared to other people or an arbitrary number. His wealth has a purpose in his life, and it isn't just so he can be as good as or sufficient in the world, like measure up. So I think it's important for us to, which is why I say it's important to know why you're going after something, because sometimes you get it and you look at it and you think that's not really what I wanted because you weren't clear in the first place. Why do you want that? And that's the harder question to ask yourself is why am I really doing that? And I'm not saying there's a bad reason why, but you need to know that why for a number of reasons.
Yeah, and I definitely like that. I like your wealthy example too, because like this is going to be more applied to like super wealthy people, but definitely anyone listening can relate to this where there are going to be some people who they just want to feel like they just want to flex with their money. Like they want to, you know, get the Lamborghini, for instance, because they want to do external things. And, you know, like you don't necessarily have to be doing those different things to compete with people. It's like, you know, neighbor shows up with like a Lamborghini, you're going to get a Ferrari if you can do that. Now, where this is like a super wealthy neighborhood I'm talking about, but it's one of those things where I feel like people can relate to it in different ways and different examples. And it's important to really think about why. Is it really just to, and then just to question your why, if you feel like it's like, if it's just to compete with the person across the street, then like, what are you doing? But if it's like something internal, if it's something that gives you joy, happiness, those things that really matter, that's going to be something that's going to actually give you that internal gratification and allow you to strive towards a goal instead of just something external.
Right, because it matters to you, right? So that Lamborghini, if it mattered to me and I was going for it, I would feel great satisfaction. And even when I was hitting a setback and I know, oh my God, I thought I'd have that handled by now. And I'm thinking, well, it's going to take me 8 or 9 more months. I'm not going to lose heart because I can see that and I know I'm going after it and it matters to me. But if it matters to somebody else and not to me, I'm going to get it and I'm going to go, ho-hum. You know, it's like, because it wasn't me. So that, I think your example's really good with that.
We have more great content coming up in this episode, but first we have a message from today's sponsor, Jobber. Jobber's award-winning software helps small home service businesses organize their entire operations from scheduling jobs and managing their crews to invoicing customers and collecting payments. That way, you can spend more time on the services you're already great at. Job by job, business by business, Jobber is transforming the ways their customers deliver service. Start your free trial over at getjobber.com/breakthrough. All right, let's get right back into the episode. And another thing I want to address is, you know, so we've talked about, you know, setting goals and picking which ones you actually do. And I feel like at this stage of the episode, you know, listeners have enough insight. We're like, okay, I'm going to write my goals. I feel inspired. I'm going to create a plan, stuff like that. But what happens with a lot of plans, especially with New Year's coming up at the time of this recording, we're past New Year's, but at the time of New Year's, people will set down their resolutions. They'll feel super inspired. You listening to this, you may have an idea of what I'm saying because it may have happened to you or may have happened to someone you know, where you don't remember what your New Year's resolutions are anymore. So how can we get to the point where we're writing goals and stuff and then actually truly commit to them for a year? Not like this full-hearted, like a week and then half-hearted the rest of the way. Like how do we fully commit for that whole year, 2 years, however long it takes for us to get across the finish line?
So there are a couple of schools of thought of that. And there are, in terms of motivation and staying focused, and I actually think I fall in both camps of this just because given the specific goal, either of these would apply. So there's a sense that you either have for yourself a reason that is an accomplishment, right? So I'm going after this because there's a tangible result. And if I don't do this, I can understand the pain or the negative impact of not achieving it. So good example, right? I go to my doctor and I find out I have diabetes or I'm on the edge of it. I don't have it. But, you know, my lifestyle, I'm not taking care of myself, not exercising. And my goal is, hey, I don't want to be on meds. I'm going to get my numbers down. I'm going to do this, right? So there's a consequence if I don't do that. Now, if my desire, like, I don't care, I'll just take meds because I don't want to make personal changes, I'm not going to have progress. But if I can say to myself, I don't want to be on meds. I don't want to. I have control of this. So whatever my motivations are, whether they're like I don't like being in trouble or pain, like I want to move away from pain, that may help move me in that direction. Or if I'm really motivated by achievement, like, okay, my numbers are going down and I'm holding them there. So depending on the person and their personality and what drives them, you can have external things that will help you stay focused. But really, it's a matter of making tiny habit changes. And one of my favorite questions, and I don't just tell you like make up this stuff. I actually do this when I'm at a crossroads where I'm thinking, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm just so tired. I know this is important. I don't want to do it. I have to ask myself, so who are you going to look at in the mirror tomorrow? You're going to say, I was just too tired to go on that extra mile and a half walk today, and it would have only taken me 20 minutes. I'm so tired, versus just going, right? Just quit the internal dialogue and go because you made a commitment, which is true for me. I made a commitment to walk, 3 miles a day, period. I'm not looking forward to upholding that commitment when the snow hits the ground, but I will. But those are those things where you have to figure out for yourself, what are your triggers? And so there are many things you can set up to make it easier, like keep my tennis shoes out. I have a dog who, if I don't walk him, will hit the leash with his nose and it makes noise, right? It hangs in the kitchen. You can't go past it. He'll hit it at the time we're supposed to walk. It really induces guilt in me. So I'm thinking, I gotta go. Right? I can say no to me, but not to him. But so, I mean, and those are kind of lighthearted, but you have to think about the things that, motivate you, which is goes back to the why, right? Is it a health thing? Is it a family thing? Did you promise yourself, your spouse, your kids? And who are you actually letting down? And that's that really gets back to that sense of being accountable to yourself. Because I think it's a huge opportunity for regret when you have to look at yourself and go, I know better and I can do better. And I just didn't want to be uncomfortable. I didn't want to be tired or whatever. Right. And you make an excuse, which is why I say no labels, no limits, and no excuses. Like, just do something. Doesn't have to be the whole thing, but do something.
And I really love the dog example. The dog's just nudging on the leash. I mean, I have a dog also, and her voice gets a little louder and she like goes by the door when she wants to get taken out. So I definitely understand how the dog's trying to send a little signal to the human to, that's version.
Basically get off your butt and get
walk
going.
Me, get it done. But there is a deep insight in that, because you said something like, it was something to the effect of, I wouldn't do it for me, like something like that. Like, but for the dog, like, I'm there. So like, I feel like sometimes, for instance, where it's like, for a business standpoint, like if it's a solo thing, like writing a book, like, oh, I could put that off for a day. Interviewing Sarah when I know she's waiting for me, not exactly something I could put off no matter how tired I'm feeling, because you're letting someone else down in that scenario. So one suggestion I have for you all listening, try to tie your work, try to tie your effort to someone to like, are you like, you should feel like you're letting someone down if you're not doing the thing that, and I think that'll help you take more action. Another thing I want to say though is your dog's kind of like your accountability partner in the sense where, nudging on the leash and you're getting out there. And I feel like accountability is so important. So I wonder if you could share with us some good ways we can build accountability for ourselves so we've got the better environment to get the goals done.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my favorite things is to actually And I, you know, sometimes I like the term accountability buddy, sometimes I don't. But part of it is being open with someone about your intentions. You know, so I'm going to do this and putting it out there. And I remember when I wrote a book, I was so afraid. So the whole, speaking of the whole stretch goal, right? So I thought, I do not have any idea if this is going to happen. I don't know if I can do it, but I wanted to do it, right? So I went to a friend of mine who ran an agency and I said, hey, I'm writing a book. I hadn't even started the outline. I had a concept in my head, no outline. I said, hey, I'm writing a book and I would love for the sales of it to benefit your organization. What do you think? She goes, oh, we're in. And I'm thinking, okay. So I have to show up to a professional friend and colleague and say, oh, I just didn't get around to it. No. So that was one external thing. And then I had a coach who would call me every 2 weeks and say, are we on track? What are we doing? And I mean, that held my feet to the fire because I knew when it got tough, I would focus on my client work or my consulting work or my coaching work and say, I'll get around to it, to your example. So I think having an accountability partner, whether it's a friend or a colleague or someone that you, maybe it's someone you have as a coach, helps us be honest, you know, and just they check in, they don't let you off the hook because boy, oh boy, you can come up with excuses like, oh, I got really busy. Why was that? Did you not calendar the time? You know, so it helps you take away some of your excuses. And I know for me and my clients, it has been a big motivator. I've had people say, oh yeah, I knew I had to have those answers to you before we talked. I'm thinking, yeah. So I think having someone who is a mirror for you, and once you get the habit of doing certain things, those things start to become second nature. You know, it's like you wouldn't think of not doing them. So then you needed someone to help you at your next stretch goal.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating. I mean, you went up to your friend and you asked them, you know, you get them involved, and all of a sudden, it's not like, oh, poor me, I didn't get my book done. It's like, I let my friend down in a professional relationship, which is very different. So I definitely
love... Well, the stakes are higher, right?
Yeah, stakes are higher.
Yeah.
I like to say, fastest way to start a podcast, ask five of your good friends to be on the show. You have no idea what you're doing. You figure out what you're supposed to do really quickly. So that's...
I think we did the same launch, Mark. I did the same. It's like, okay, what are you going to do? Say, oh, I changed my mind. I don't.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, that's a great, that's so great.
Well, anyway, for people who do want help with their podcasts, I am here at markdeberti.com/strategy for anyone who's interested. Sarah has her work and everything going on as well. So we'll be linking to that as well. Where are some good places for us to go so we can follow your journey?
Well, sarahbox.com is where I keep everything centralized. So I have my podcast, my blogs there. And I will say for your listeners or anybody who, you know, who are your listeners or folks they're listening to, they think fit. We just launched a really cool quiz that helps people see where they might get stuck in goal achievement. It's, you just go through my website, you can access it, but it will evaluate you, or you evaluate yourself in 8 domains of goal achievement. It is free. It is no obligation. The minute you take it, you get your results immediately in a PDF report to you. But the bigger piece of the report is it has hyperlinks to tools. So if you say you're struggling in one area and maybe it's getting specific on your goals, there is a tool in there that will help you get more, you know, be able to state more clearly what your goals are, or there's blog posts. So I would just encourage people to take that. And there's no follow-up from me unless you reach out for it. But we're really hoping folks can take that and level their game, because we want people to be successful.
Well, Sarah, thank you again for sharing those resources with us. And we'll have all those in the show notes. It was such a pleasure having you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks, Mark.
This episode of the Breakthrough Success Podcast was brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business's command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Start a free trial or sign up today to receive 20% off your first 6 months. Find out more at getjobber.com/breakthrough.